The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, what a weekend is coming your way, and we've got so much great sports to look forward to here on the Family of Networks. Tonight, Clippers-Warriors highlighting our NBA doubleheader. Sunday, we have Ravens-Titans every which way, ESPN, ABC, and the Megacast. And then, of course, bookended on Monday night with Alabama and Ohio State in the national championship game of college football. That is a look at our big lineup for this week. And if there's ever been a time that we could all use magnificent football to watch, this is the perfect time for it, and we will get it this weekend. So we hope you enjoy. We welcome you back to Get Up, another terrific hour coming your way, live as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Greeny. The crew is awesome on this Football Friday, and here we go. It is time to Get Up with Mr. Watson. It's elementary. Half the teams in the NFL should be trying to trade for him right now. We'll get to that first. Then, Juju said, what? The latest trash talk from this flashy star makes dancing on the logo seem like nothing. And then the coach of the Bucks pushes all his chips to the center of the table. It's Super Bowl or bust for Tampa Tom and his team. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now with this. Deshaun Watson, according to our Adam Schefter, is bothered by the way his team hired a new general manager. According to league sources, Watson offered his input on potential candidates, but the Texans neither considered nor consulted with those who had been endorsed by their franchise quarterback. And then additionally, the Texans didn't inform Watson that they intended to hire Nick Caserio. He actually found out about the hiring, which took place earlier this week, on social media, which led Watson to go to social media and post, "Some things never change." Remember, last offseason, Houston didn't let Watson know that star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins would be traded, which led to a great deal of disappointment there as well. And so we spent the first hour as we talked about this subject talking about his displeasure and the reasons for it. And I think we covered that well. Now let's talk about the possibility of him going somewhere else. Kimberly Martin, insider extraordinaire. What would have to happen for that to be the next step here, for Deshaun Watson to be someone else's quarterback next season?
Greeny, I don't think it's likely, because when you look at this Houston team, what else do they have? Deshaun Watson is the certainty that you have. But if we head into an offseason where Deshaun is still unhappy, you know, he may have deleted that tweet, but are the bad feelings, will they get erased? I mean, the Texans might think, hey, if we could get a haul, why not? I wouldn't agree with it, but I'm going to steal Tyrann Mathieu's list of teams that should definitely be on the list. Mm-hmm. If the Bears, 49ers, Saints aren't the first people calling, like, hey, heard Deshaun's not happy, we could take him off your hands, I'd be shocked. Those three teams should make a beeline to try to get Deshaun, even though I don't think it's likely.
Imagine that. I mean, the Bears, what a difference that would make. They should offer not only their entire roster, they should offer the Water Tower and Gibson Steakhouse if they have to. Ryan Clark, what do you think about the idea? I mean, sometimes I think that Deshaun Watson is underappreciated and undervalued because of where he plays 100%. And all the things that he does and that sort of thing. I mean, every team that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and I mean that, you know, and that obvious list of characters, should be desperately trying to get him, yes?
No, absolutely. Listen, what we saw Deshaun Watson do on a depleted Houston Texans team this year was amazing. I think it actually raised his value. It allowed people to actually see his worth outside of Houston when you're watching him fight and keep this team in the game each and every week. And what I tweeted last week was insurmountable leads given up by his defense every single day or every single game. But when you look at Deshaun Watson and the things that he can bring to your organization, the type of leadership, the type of quality person he is away from the field, this is a guy you have to absolutely want. And for me, you know, Kimberly mentioned those teams. Obviously, you're going to think about the Jets. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, to me, you have to consider thinking about that number one pick and saying, do I want Deshaun Watson, who I know can do this, who I believe was better at Clemson than Trevor Lawrence was? Or do we start with Trevor Lawrence and start all over from the beginning with our new head coach? But listen, if you're the new GM of the Houston Texans, your wife is going to be asking you questions like, who is texting you late talking about, hey, big head, you up? Because that's what people should be asking him right now. You up? Because I'm trying to see what you're doing with Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm. All right. You brought up a great question. David Pollack, I'll bring it to you. The Jacksonville Jaguars have the first pick in the draft, which is extraordinarily valuable this year because it basically represents Trevor Lawrence. If you're the Jaguars, would you trade that pick to Houston for Deshaun Watson? And if you're the Texans, would you do it?
How fast can I put it in? I mean, I give it to you right now, like 100%. Like, this ain't even debatable, like, right? Yes.
Right.
And by the way, how about the Jags sitting in the position they're sitting in with two firsts, 2 seconds? They've got the ammunition. Again, we can talk about Trevor Lawrence, and he is a huge prospect, and I think he's going to be awesome. But let's also look at it takes time to develop. It's taken Deshaun Watson time to develop. By the way, this is the first year I've looked at him and gone, okay, you can see the anticipation as a passer. You can see him being able to throw guys open. It takes time. It's going to take Trevor Lawrence time, too. By the way, Trevor Lawrence comes from the same system that isn't really an NFL system that's going to take time to develop him as well. So how fast can I give you the sheet of paper with my two ones, with a two, with a one next to it? And by the way, it's what, 4 years, $160 million? Like, yes, please, sign me up right now.
That's what I was going to say, though, Kimberly. Deshaun is expensive. It's 4 years, $160 million. He's worth every penny of it. But Trevor Lawrence, we all know, you control him for 5 years. It's much, much, much cheaper. What do you think? Who doesn't do it?
Only the Chiefs. Like, it would be the team that I would say, like, all right. I mean, if you're the 49ers, you can say all you want about Jimmy Garoppolo. No disrespect to him. I know that Kyle Shanahan is a big supporter, but you get a chance to get Deshaun Watson with that roster, loaded with talent, you call them up. You convince John Lynch, like, hey, make that call because that's a guy we can clearly win with. I mean, even the Jets, it's not a team that I think is even close to being really good. But you add Deshaun Watson, I mean, it's like he makes
Greedy
that.
Feels
makes
better about
garbage
it.
Smell
His kids
pretty.
Got to change their names.
The Jets should throw in the Chrysler building. I mean, I don't know what, whatever it is you can figure out, you can trade. Here's the entire roster, the second pick in the draft, and any legendary architecture we have in our city to get Deshaun Watson. That's what 20, I haven't done looked at the entire thing. 28 teams, roughly, in the NFL should be trying to make that trade. All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. We'll see. The most important thing to remind you, it doesn't seem likely this will happen this offseason, but now it doesn't seem impossible. Meanwhile, let's go on the clock and look at some of the biggest NFL games, or the wild card games this weekend. And Bart, I'm going to start with you. You've got Colts, Bills, 30 seconds on the clock. Who's the most important player in that game? Go.
For me, it has to be Jonathan Taylor. He sets the table for everybody else. You talk about over 1,000 yards, rushing 5 yards a carry. That sets the table for everybody. That offense, physicality, keeping Josh Allen on the sideline is going to be key. Time of possession, taking all the air out of the clock. And when you do that, and when he's able to run the ball with authority like he does, you know, he's going to allow that eighth man in the box, and that's when you take the shots over the top with T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman, and crew. Jonathan Taylor is definitely going to be the key to that victory if they're going to get it. Physicality, that's what you have to pack, your defense and your run game in the playoffs.
I'm with you. He has been so good, especially the last couple of weeks. Ninkovich, you've got Rams and Seahawks. Who's the most important player? Go.
I'm going with Jamal Adams. Look, this guy gets to the quarterback often. You look at the amount of pressure that he has. He has a 30% pressure rate. Yeah, he's only blitzed 99 times, but out of those 99 times, he's going to get to your quarterback 30 times, which is pretty impressive. And he has 9.5 sacks, so he has a 10% sack rate. His ability to create pressure, and on top of that, his leadership off the field. You all saw that clip of him coming off to the sideline, like, look, nobody believes in us. He has brought a type of leadership to that team. And also the presence on defense that they need a presence on defense. So against the Rams, they're going to need him to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He does have a shoulder, but he says he's going to play. RC, who's the most important person in Bears Saints? That's your game. Go.
It's the offensive coordinator Bill Lazor for the Chicago Bears. Look, since Mitchell Trubisky has been inserted, the play calling has gone from Matt Nagy to Bill Lazor. When you're playing against the New Orleans Saints, a team that plays a ton of man on the back end that can rush up front, you want to use quarterback run. Think back to what Jalen Hurts was able to do against this team for the Philadelphia Eagles. So you can get into the zone read system, get David Montgomery going. This keeps the Saints off the field offensively, but it also allows ball control, and it leads to Mitchell Trubisky not being put in position to turn the football over. Bill Lazor, control the clock, control your quarterback.
That's a good point. That is actually the biggest spread of the weekend. It would be the biggest upset of all the six games this weekend if Chicago found a way to win at New Orleans. We are just getting this hour rolling here on Get Up. Coming up, who doesn't like a little trash talk before a Sunday night showdown? Did Juju give the Browns bulletin board material, and will that matter? We'll answer those questions. And then, so many great quarterbacks on the field this weekend. Which one of them has the best chance to get to the Super Bowl? RC's got the list as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up, and the Cleveland Browns facility remained closed yesterday as the team continues to prepare virtually for Sunday's playoff game against the Steelers. Quarterback Baker Mayfield says he's not worried about Cleveland's compromised week of practice.
If you guys, you know, wind up not having a practice this week, what impact is that going to have on you Sunday night?
It won't have an impact.
Well, that's what he's got to say, right? And Kimberly Martin, you covered this game as these two teams played last week, and now you have the game this week. What is the latest as far as the possibility of them getting into the building today or at all before the game?
Yeah, Greeny, as I'm talking to you now, the building is still closed. We'll see if that changes later, but the Browns, as they've done all week, waiting to see when their facility will be allowed to be open. It's been closed all week. Baker Mayfield hasn't thrown a pass since last Sunday when I watched him beat the Steelers. And that's not a good situation for the Browns. But here's what I can tell you about their mindset. You know, I spoke to Kevin Stefanski the night before their Week 17 matchup against the Steelers. And he said, look, my message to the team all season, even in the offseason when I was hired, was we've got to hit the curveball. We've got to be able to deal with unexpected things. And a few days later, he tested positive for COVID. So this is worst case scenario for the Browns. But these guys, they believe what their head coach has told them all season, which is, hey, when things happen, such as this week, we've got to roll with it. And guys still feel like they've got to win for the guys who can't play.
Yeah, so maybe that's a little bit of motivation. And if they needed more, maybe Juju Smith-Schuster gave them some more motivation, as he may have added some fuel to this rivalry with these comments about the Browns.
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year. I think they're nameless great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, like, it's the Browns, it's the Browns. And that's just, like, one of the things that, you know, AFC North football, and they're a good team, but I'm just happy we're playing them again, you know, this Sunday.
Oh, so we got trash talk. Oh, I got David Pollack laughing. I got Ryan Clark looking, I don't know, what looks mad. Go ahead, David, what do you think of that?
Oh, I low key like it because, by the way, he used Mike Tomlin's isms, the nameless opponent. I like that. He used a nameless opponent to actually talk trash. Like, I don't know. I thought it was funny. I don't think the Browns thought it was funny, but, you know, Juju's been known for dancing on the field and having the antics and Tomlin kind of reining it in. I don't think Tomlin will love this, RC. I actually think Tomlin will hate it, but I kind of like it. He was like, hey, Ryan, he was like, wait a minute, the Browns had a cute little season. Hey, little buddy, good right. season. Y'all going home this weekend.
Is that what that right. was, RC?
I mean, listen, Juju Smith-Schuster could have might as well have gotten up from the table, started walking to the bathroom, and said, you know what? I'm going to finally take the Browns to the Super Bowl. Because that's basically how he was talking about this team. Listen, this was, you know, and you know, David's laughing about, you know, the nameless gray faces, but that is the Tomlinism. That is something that he says, but he doesn't use it in that manner, right? He doesn't use it in, like, this no. team stinks. They're a nameless gray face. He uses it as, if we do what we have to do, we are going to win games. But I said it earlier in the first hour, like, you inherit this, right? When you walk into the building in Pittsburgh, there is no fear of the Cleveland Browns. You know you're going to get on that bus and drive to Cleveland and win a game. You know when they come to Heinz Field, you're going to win a game. Like, that's something you inherit. That's something you breathe in when you walk into the Southside facility. And Juju just, you know, he kind of kept it a little too real, or he just doesn't care. Juju feels like no matter what, if we go out and do our jobs, we will beat the Cleveland Browns. And Kimberly made a good point about what Kevin Stefanski said about hitting curveballs. Well, usually football throws you curveballs like I'm throwing them. I've had labrum surgery, rotator cuff surgery. If I throw a curveball, it's going to come right down the plate at 40 miles an hour. The curveballs they've received are Clayton Kershaw curveballs. And you need to practice and you need to work, because when you have those type of curveballs, it's just truly hard to hit home runs.
That's a very good analogy. But, Bart, yeah. I saw in your notes, you're the one person on the show today who gives Cleveland a puncher's chance on Sunday night. Why?
Well, just glass half full, because this is an opponent that they faced just a week ago. This is an opponent that's within the division. And I thought the Steelers had an opportunity to put them out. You know, the Steelers had an opportunity to choose their opponent. They could have beat Cleveland and would have allowed Miami into the playoffs. And sometimes you got to be happy with, you know, be careful what you wish for. Because I can remember in 2009, the Cincinnati Bungles did the same things to us, because they let it, they rested their players, they beat us, we beat them, then we went to their house and we smashed them because we got confidence. And confidence is a dangerous thing. So now you're thinking about, you know, playing an opponent, and now Juju wants a gaslight, right? And it's one of those things, Juju, I know exactly where you're going to be, bro. So if I'm a defensive player, if I'm one of these guys, I'm going to hit him right in his sternum, just like the guy from the Bengals did before when he come across the middle on one of these brackets. Now I'm going to make sure that he crawls off, and I'm going to make sure that he gets no considerations of being a professional. If I got to hit him low, I'm going to hit him low. If I got to hit him high, I got to hit him high. If he got to go to sleep, then he going to sleep. Because it's one thing to say, hey, you're going to beat me. It's another thing to try to rub my face in it. So as a professional, as a man, now you got to see me in between those hashes, because I know that's where you live. Guess what? That's exactly where I live as a linebacker. So we'll see if you're ready for all that smoke when you come in there.
Bart, you've been on fire this morning, man. What's wrong with you?
It's playoff part. This is playoff part. I can't wait. Dan Pollock, quick thought.
Can't wait.
Hey, well, first of all, two things. Have you seen the Browns' pass defense? I'd be talking trash too, but it's Bengals. Say it right. It's not Bungles.
That was for you. That was for you. No, talking about how we feel about within a division. That's what we call the Bengals. We call them the Bungles, man. Can't get right.
Bart Scott's got everybody ready to play this week. I love it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Lamar Jackson is our next topic of conversation. His playoff performances to date have not been anything to write home about. Does he change the narrative this weekend? That's the question. The answer is next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up and giving you some of the great wildcard weekend moments 21 years ago today. The Music City Miracle. Who could forget? The Bills had taken a lead with 16 seconds left. And on the ensuing kickoff, that's Frank Wycheck. That's Kevin Dyson. That's a 75-yard touchdown. And there were no flags on the field 21 years ago today. The Music City Miracle. Let's see if we get any thrills like that this weekend. Meanwhile, Tom Brady's head coach pushing all his chips to the center of the table. Is it really Super Bowl or bust for Tampa? We'll talk about that. And we'll see how Bart Scott does with this sneaky hembo time. Who's the last quarterback to win a playoff game for the Washington football team? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and it's Sneaky Hembo time. Bart Scott, we're coming for you. Who is the last quarterback to win a playoff game for the franchise now known as the Washington football team?
Well, at first glance, I would think that it would have been RG3. But because I'm a suffering Lions fan, I remember a year where they had a guy named Brad Johnson that kicked our butts and beat us in one of the very few appearances that we had in the playoffs.
That is not correct. The answer is Mark Brunell. It was the 15th anniversary of this game yesterday, beating the Buccaneers. And you know what? All of us in the studio talked about this. None of us remember this game. None of us remember this game. I need details on that game. Stat, Mark Brunell. RC, you were there?
I was there. That's why I was playing there. Green, that's the Sean Taylor scoop and score game. The ball was on the ground. Sean came and picked that thing up like an eagle that pick up a fish. He was He dove in the end zone, and we knew from there we had that thing. Because they beat us early in the season because Sean got kicked out. But Sean played that whole game. We was like, but wait. There's more. I remember that, G. Ooh, I stood up all stout in the middle of the field, Greeny. It was a great, glorious day for Washington. Okay, I'm fired up now. I feel like Bart Scott.
Right.
Bart Scott
that,
got
that's
me.
You retired the neck roll? You retired the neck roll?
Woo. I have a neck roll.
I'll take that one as a win.
But I retired all sides neck roll.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's talk about the game Washington is playing tomorrow night. The 5-seed Bucks against the 4-seed football team. And this weekend is going to be a first for Tom Brady. In his 21 seasons, he's never been in the playoffs as a wild card. He's played wild card weekend, but he's never actually been on a wild card team. Here's a big number. To beat Tom Brady in the playoffs, he averaged 27 points. Can Washington do that? They only scored 27 3 times this entire season. And no quarterback had a higher QBR drop-off between no pressure and pressure. The difference was 84 QBR with no pressure, 6 when there is. So that's the key for Washington. Meanwhile, yesterday, Tampa coach Bruce Arians was asked if this has already been a successful season for his team. Here's what he said.
We'll see. You know, see how far this goes. It won't be if we don't win this one. That's for sure. And really, it's not going to be if we don't put rings on our fingers, because once you're in the tournament, that's what you're playing for. And so we did enough to get here. And now it will not be satisfying unless we finish it.
Personally, I love that. I don't think that's putting extra pressure on your team. I think that's telling them, guys, if you don't win the ring, it really doesn't mean a thing. So I'm good with that. The question, Bart Scott, is how do they do it? How does Washington pull off what I think would be, in most people's opinion, an extraordinary upset against Tom Brady and the Bucs?
It's getting Tom Brady off his spot. Understand that Tom Brady likes to step up. He's a guy that steps up and steps out. So what you have to do is you do that interior pressure. This is a game where I would consider, you know, like we've seen that Tom Brady struggled is when, you know, the Houston Texans used to put merciless over the guards and get that interior quick pressure. You know they're not going to try and run the ball. So I'll take a guy like Ryan Kerrigan, put him over the guard and let him raise havoc so that when he decides to step up, he's stepping up to a guy that can win immediately off the snap. You know, and once you get him off his spot, then you have to make sure that you get to him and you get the ball out. You know, we've seen Montez Sweat. We've seen Chase Young in recent weeks, you know, scoop and score, scoop and really put the offense on a short field, because I don't know how healthy Alex Smith is. So it's about getting the ball out when you get to Tom Brady. You know, if you get close to him early, he'll fold like a bad lawn chair, but you have to get to him early. He won't be so courageous in the pocket if you get him early in the game.
Oh, look, they've got guys named Payne and Sweat on that defensive line. That's a little scary to begin with. Let's do our picks. So, again, it's tomorrow night. We're going to pick these games for you. The ESPN FPI, let's see what our analytics say. 74% chance to win. So that's pretty significant. A very significant favorite are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do them in the order. Bart Scott, who you got to win?
Tampa, I'm not crazy.
Okay. RC, who you got to win this game?
This would be the one time that Rex Ryan said, follow the analytics, and so I am too. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. It ain't close.
How about you? Your old buddy there, Rob Ninkovich, is Tom Brady in this game? You like him, or would you see a huge upset here?
Rob, look, it's going to be a long day for Tom Brady because it's an 8:15 start, and he's going to have to wait all day to get after Washington. He's not going to have any problems getting after those guys. So Tampa all day.
Okay, so it's a clean sweep. Everybody likes the Buccaneers again. That, I think, would feel like an enormous upset if it doesn't go that way. Guys, stay close. We're coming back to you. But again, this is a weekend that is bookended by another huge game Monday night. College football national championship. Justin Fields and Ohio State continuing to prepare for Alabama off their 21-point win over Clemson. Fields was unbelievable, took that huge hit, stayed in the game, threw for 385, 6 touchdowns, now ranked 2nd in the country in total QBR behind only Alabama's Mac Jones. So we've got the two top-rated quarterbacks in that regard in this game. And David Pollack is back with me. So who do you give the edge to at quarterback in this game, Alabama or Ohio State?
I tell you what, when you look at Justin Fields' performance last week, it also came at a price, right? Like, Skowski destroyed him. And most human beings, especially, like, Greeny took that hit. Greeny's still be in the hospital in ICU. Like, it was an amazing hit that I think took a toll on his body. And I'm interested to see what Justin Fields we get. So, because of that, I know he's going to be a little bit compromised. I know what I'm going to get from Mac Jones. I know what I'm going to get from this offense. It's going to be a process offense where we're going to run the football. We're going to throw it short. We're going to throw it long. We're literally going to take advantage of every single weapon on the field. So I give Mac Jones a slight edge, but I think both of them are going to put up stupid video game numbers, and it's going to be one of the most fun championship games we've seen.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Let me just make sure that we're clear on what you said. If I took that hit, I would immediately gather the media around me on the field, announce my retirement, and then I would initiate legal proceedings against the person who hit me that way. That's a whole different situation. Let me go to the other thing. How many points does Ohio State have to score to have a chance to win this game? No one has slowed down this ridiculously prolific Alabama offense. So how do you slow them enough, and what exactly does that mean? How many points will it take to beat them?
It's going to take over 40 to beat Alabama. And I tell you what, I can't give you a blueprint because it doesn't exist. I haven't seen it. But watching all the tape, if you go back and you watch Arkansas did the best job of limiting explosive plays. Mac Jones threw for 200 yards. Devontae Smith had 28 yards receiving and 3 catches. What did they do? They rushed 3 and dropped 8. They dropped a bunch of people in coverage and they said, we're not giving up the big play. You want to run the football? So be it. They were down 38-3 at half. 38-3. They did a great job. They did an awesome job. And look at Notre Dame in the semifinal gave Alabama 4 possessions in the first half, 8 o'clock. Alabama had 21 points. So they're going to get theirs. I would just take it slow, man. Slow death. Najee Harris, if he wants 25 carries, so be it. You get in the red zone. I get you to kick a few field goals. I hold you to 30-something, and that's a victory, and I got to go score a bunch of points.
That's, I think, what we're looking at. You're looking at a game where you probably will need to score in the 40s to have any chance to win. David Pollack, outstanding. We look forward to this continuing through the weekend. Meanwhile, let me get up and go because it's an incredibly busy time in sports. How about the blockbuster trade in baseball yesterday? 4-time All-Star Francisco Lindor and pitcher Carlos Carrasco traded to the Mets in exchange. New York sending back shortstop Ahmed Rosario and 3 prospects, so a huge acquisition for the Mets. Basketball, Kyrie Irving missed last night's game against the 76ers and will not travel to Memphis for tonight's game either due to undisclosed personal reasons. The Nets are already without Kevin Durant, who was in quarantine after being exposed to someone who tested positive for COVID. Meanwhile, the Spurs took on the Lakers last night, and the game started with all the players and all the coaches with their arms linked. LeBron James would wind up leading the Lakers with 27, but the Spurs would actually hand them their largest loss of the season, 118-109. Now, meanwhile, last night after that game, both LeBron James and Greg Popovich addressed the riots at the U.S. Capitol. James begins it by wondering out loud what would have happened if the mob of pro-Trump supporters had been mostly made up of black people. Here's what he said.
We live in two Americas, and that was prime example of that yesterday. And if you don't understand that or don't see that after seeing what you saw yesterday, then you really need to take a step back, not even just one step, maybe four or five or even 10 steps backwards, and ask yourself, how do you want your kids, or how do you want, your grandkids, how do we want America to be viewed as? How do we want to live, in this beautiful country? Because yesterday was not it.
Yesterday, I think the big picture for me was how it just laid bare the blatant, dangerous, debilitating racism that is our country's sin and has plagued us all these years. There can't be a better obvious example of a system that is not fair as far as justice and equal rights are concerned and protection of citizens. It was just right in your face, and anybody that can ignore that is a shameful individual, in my opinion.
In a video that was released last night, President Trump condemned Wednesday's violence and acknowledged that a new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. We will take a break. Back to the football as we go. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes will be watching this weekend which teams have the best chance to take them down and get to the Super Bowl. We'll answer that question right after this.
3 days to the college football playoff national championship game on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich.
It's 2021. We need brightness. We need light. We need enjoyment.
I can't tell you how jacked I am.
I wish me and Jeff Saturday were together so I could give him a hug.
Ooh. 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed suggest that flossing during football games is actually beneficial. There is no equivalence whatsoever between what the Steelers did, keeping Ben Roethlisberger healthy for a playoff game, and what the Eagles did.
Yeah, the NFL is going to cancel the playoffs because of the damage that Doug Peterson did.
It's freaking ridiculous.
I disagree with literally everything that has been said here.
Spoken like a guy that plays chess and drinks high-dollar wine.
I will stand alone on this one because, like most geniuses, I will not be truly appreciated until long after my time.
You know why your genius is never going to be appreciated? Because you have days like this.
Why do you got to poop on the man?
Let us finish then with what I think might very well have been my favorite moment of the year. I cannot not see Crockett and Tubbs behind you.
You got to get him some chest hair if you go to Miami Vice. There it is. Oh, too much.
Too much. Smith.
Now it's a party. That was my favorite moment of 2021 so far, and I don't just mean on the air, just in general. That was the best thing that we have seen. I am Greeny. This is Get Up on ESPN. We wish you commercial-free for the next 13 minutes live here on ESPN. At the top of the hour, I will be coast-to-coast on ESPN Radio, and First Take will be live here on your TV. Does the Washington football team have a shot to beat Brady and the Bucks? Plus, can Baker Mayfield upset the Steelers? Stephen A., Max, and Molly are ready. Top of the hour here on ESPN. We're with you commercial free until then. And what a weekend we have before us. Wild card weekend. First time ever we got 12 teams playing in one playoff weekend. You could argue this is the greatest football weekend that we've ever had. And so we bring Ryan Clark in, and today, Ryan's list, we love RC's fundamental lists, and today's list is this. Give me the five teams, the top five teams in order that are playing this weekend that you give the best chance to win the Super Bowl.
You know what? At number five, I'm just going to start it right out. It's the Bart Scott-hating Baltimore Ravens. And the reason is I think Lamar can do it. And I know you're going to be like, well, they didn't beat the Tennessee Titans last year. Lamar's never won a playoff game. I don't care. It's 2021. We're starting this thing off differently. Lamar has a chance to ball. And we know when this defense is healthy, when everybody is out there, this team can really stop you from the pass, and they can rush the passer with the blitz packages that they show up with each and every week. I know what I've seen from Lamar these last few weeks. He's gone back to being old Lamar. He's gone back to being the best athlete on the field. Greg Roman understands that. John Harbaugh understands that. And so now we have to see it happen. The Tennessee Titans are a tall task, but there is no team that is excited about facing Lamar Jackson in his run game. And I can't wait to see how it starts this weekend, because it may end up in Tampa Bay in February. And at number four, I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, Mr. Unlimited has been a little more limited lately, but that doesn't mean that Russell Wilson can't make the plays when he needs to make the plays. And one of my best friends, Brian McFadden, who I used to play with the Steelers, says there's no Russell Wilson like curly hair Russell Wilson, and that's the Russell Wilson we have right now. And also, now if you look at the defensive side, Jamal Adams, he's a little banged up. You heard a little bit earlier Ninkovich talk about his pass rush rate, but also think about Carlos Dunlap, what he's added. Also, Jay Reed playing in the middle of that defense, and Bobby Wagner is tried, tested, and true at the linebacker position. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are ballers, and Pete Carroll has that Super Bowl pedigree. Chris Carson bringing physicality. This team has a chance. And at number three, I'm going with the Bucks. Yeah, I get it. They're a wild card team. They're the fifth seed. Oh, whatever, whatever, whatever. They got Tom Brady. And if you got Tom Brady, you get a chance. When you look at this team, this is what you think. I know we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it click on all cylinders every week this season, but man, if it does, they are trouble. And we keep talking about Lambeau. Nobody wants to go to Lambeau. It's cold. Tom Brady's legend started in the snow. The tuck rule, it's what he does. He plays in the cold. If anybody could go into Lambeau and win a game, it's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's why they're number three. At number two, it's the New Orleans Saints. I know it's a lot of NFC teams. You know why it's a lot of NFC teams, y'all? Because freaking Kansas City is in the AFC. So I can't just be saying all these AFC teams gonna win, but it's the Saints. When you play defense, the way the Saints play defense, you have a chance. And then Alvin Kamara on the other side has to be a big piece for Sean Payton. Sean Payton, don't be stubborn. You saw the Christmas shoes. He was the Grinch that stole Christmas for the Minnesota Vikings, scoring six times. You ain't got to prove a point with Drew. We know it's hard for Drew to throw a football Monday through Saturday. Let him throw it about 20 times on Sunday, and you will be all right. Cam Jordan getting after the passer. Trey Hendrickson getting after the passer. Chauncey Gardner Jr. may be one of the top nickelbacks in the league. Allow those dudes to hunt, run the football, and you have a chance. And at number one, this is why I will be welcome in Buffalo forever. It's the Buffalo Bills, because Josh Allen. Hey, guys, last night, you know what I did? I was walking from the back. I was coming from the front, because today is Logan Clark's birthday. Happy birthday, baby. Happy 16th. I love you, because I had to set some things up. And my son was watching Stephon Diggs. He was watching Stephon Diggs on YouTube highlights. You know what I saw? Josh Allen doing stupid things. Rolling to his left, throwing it back right. Rolling to his right, throw it to the right. Roll it to the right, throw it to the left. Josh Allen can do whatever the hell he wants with that arm, and it's arrogance. And also defensively, they're making plays on defense. They're turning the football over. I can't wait to watch these shootouts that the Buffalo Bills get into offensively, because their gunslinger is named Doc Holliday, and he will be your Huckleberry. Let the playoffs begin.
I love it. That's extraordinarily well done, and I happen to agree with it 100%. Meanwhile, that's what happens after this weekend. I know what you're asking now. You're saying, Greeny, who's going to win all the games this weekend? Well, I'm glad you asked, because my picks are brought to you by DraftKings, and they're coming your way in 3, 2, and 1. Colts, Bills, Frank Reich, back at the scene of his most legendary game. 28 years after the comeback, this time he falls way behind and stays that way. Josh Allen is for real. Sean McDermott is the coach of the year. Circle the wagons, 31-17. Rams, Seahawks, tough to figure. They split this season. LA's D is legit, but I can't bet against Russell or his coach in this spot. Pete Carroll has the most wild card weekend wins in NFL history. Chalk up his seventh here, 26-23. Bucks in Washington. Chase Young, be careful what you wish for. Tom Brady is old, but he's still great, and his team is peaking at the right time. The future is bright in D.C., but the present ends here. Tampa, 23-10. Ravens, Titans, I hate they're playing this early because they're my two sleepers. Derrick Henry is my offensive player of the year, but I'm going the other way. Revenge for the Ravens and a new narrative for Lamar. Baltimore wins a thriller, 31-30. Bears, Saints, spare us. Chicago still has a lot to figure out. New Orleans just needs not to get anybody hurt. Most one-sided game of the weekend, 33-13 Saints. Finally, Browns, Steelers, I'm so sorry, Cleveland. You waited 18 years, and now this. I liked Pittsburgh in this game already. Without Baker's play caller and guru, this could get ugly. Better days ahead for the Browns. This one goes 31-16. Wave the terrible towel. So those are my picks. Let's see what everyone else here thinks. And Kimberly, you're covering that game, so we will not ask you for a pick, but we will ask you for the very latest coming out of there. What can you tell us about Cleveland and any chance they have of getting, for anything else, just getting back in their facility and getting a chance to practice before the game?
Maybe this news will change some picks for these guys, because as of right now, the facility is not open. The Browns hope later today it will be open. If it's not, that means this team will go the whole week without practicing. Baker Mayfield will not have thrown a pass before this game since last Sunday. So that's going to be a problem for the Browns.
Right. That's got to be an enormous factor as we go through them. Go ahead, Rob Ninkovich, who you got Sunday night, Browns and Steelers?
I'm going with the Steelers. Look, the Browns haven't practiced all week. I don't care what you do. If you haven't practiced, it's going to be really tough to go out there and win the football game. I'm going Steelers on that.
All right. I'm assuming we're going to see a clean sweep here. Bart Scott, who you got?
I mean, listen, I think that when you, it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. I know they haven't practiced, but they know this opponent. And just to see Ryan Clark's face after going after me, after I picked the Browns, it's worth the price of admission.
So you're taking the Browns.
Well, listen,
I respect that.
Absolutely.
Bart, hey, pick up on that. Okay, pick up on that thought. How do they win? How do they win this game?
Well, they win by running the ball and getting to Ben and getting the ball out of his hands. You know, Ben can go through one of these lapses where he turns the ball over. They put up 24 points last week against him. Nick Chubb went crazy. I think you simplify the game plan and say, you know what, we're going to make it an ugly game and slow it down. And maybe they can win because of the lack of running game or the lack of a tempo of a running game from the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not Steelers football. Ryan doesn't recognize that, Ben throwing the ball 50,000 times for 5 yards of attempts.
I think Bart Scott, the Raven, just doesn't want the Steelers helmet under his name. That's what I think might be the real cause of this. RC, who you got?
Listen, I'm picking the Steelers, and I want to make a certain point to Bart Scott. Bart Scott said it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. Guess what?
Okay,
when I won
okay,
a Super
okay.
Bowl, we beat the Ravens three times in a row. So
it wasn't without controversy.
And it will happen.
It wasn't a catch. It wasn't a catch. Again. He caught it outside of the ball. Santonio caught that ball outside the goal line. You know it and I know it.
Hey, guys. What also wasn't a controversy was that there was no controversy in the fact that we beat the Ravens three times. Continue, okay. Greeny.
Oh, enough. You've been sent home before, too. Stop
this
it crazy.
Rivalry, this rivalry
not
never
by
ends.
Y'all.
And
not
like
not by you,
Bart.
Not by
ends.
You, Jets.
And neither does this back
Can't
and
wait.
Forth. So let
Couldn't
me jump
wait
in.
To go home.
This is
well,
super
y'all never,
wild
y'all
card
made it, never made it to the game.
Let me go to the next thing. The Super Wildcard Weekend promo. We got the triple headers both days, and our game might very well be the best. Lamar Jackson looking for his first playoff win, leading those Ravens against 2,000-yard rushing leader Derrick Henry and the Titans. That's Sunday, 1 Eastern. It's on ESPN ABC and ESPN Deportes. Plus, of course, we have the Megacast on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and on Freeform. So you heard my pick. I've got the Ravens and Lamar to rewrite the narrative. We have some time here, so let's do them. Kimberly, you're not covering this game, so you can give us a winner. Who do you like in Tennessee on Sunday early?
I'm going to go with another Capricorn baby, and Lamar Jackson. My birthday's tomorrow. His birthday was yesterday. So I'm going to go with Lamar and the Ravens.
Happy birthday.
Very nice. And that would be a real, again, the narrative, I think, is so critical to consider here. But yep. I hesitate to even ask. I know which helmet you like having underneath your name. Who you got in this game?
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Clark already agreed with me. He said the pressure was on. That's why he put the Ravens number five contender to win the championship, because he knows the pressure's on Lamar Jackson. Action Jackson. That's all I need to say.
Tell us how they win it, though. I have a moment here. Go ahead, Mark.
They win it by giving the Titans a dose of their own medicine. Physical defense. Calais Campbell say, stiff arm me, Derrick Henry. Come mess with somebody your own size. I'm the only one out here that can look you in the eyeballs. So come see me. Come see Uncle Dre. You know what I mean? So then after that, Lamar Jackson's going to have to make a couple plays down the field, and Ryan Clark going to have to see them Ravens if his Steelers win.
It's going to be, you know, I think that Bart Scott, if you look back at this season, that game that they lost to Tennessee in late November really was the low point for Baltimore. Yes, yeah. That was when Tennessee came out. They were stomping on the logo. None of the Ravens seemed to really do anything about it. John Harbaugh, the coach, ran out there and did it himself. So maybe since that moment, it feels like since that game, the Ravens have been a different team.
No, absolutely. I mean, they took their pride. I mean, the Ravens pride themselves on being a physical football team and being the bullies. You let somebody come in your house, stomp on your logo, your coach got to step out there. And look at them, they're grimming them. Look at that. That's so disrespectful. Somebody got to go to sleep, Greeny. Somebody got to go to sleep.
Okay. So we have a sense of how Bart sees this. Rob Ninkovich, another linebacker. How do you see it?
Man, hey, I'm right there with Bart. Come on. You can't take your cleats and put the X in the logo and start yelling back at the head coach. And the head coaches don't even shake it. They come together and they just, not this time. So I'm going with the Ravens on this one. Look, you look at Tennessee's defense. I mean, I think they'll struggle to get after Lamar. They're not going to get any pressure on him. They're not going to get after Lamar in a sense of he hits his back foot, dropping seven steps and gets sacked. No. He's going to take his drop. He's going to evaluate what he sees. He might scramble out of the pocket, run for a first down. So I think you look at the matchup. If you are the Ravens, every single day you walk in that building on the chalkboard, it says stop the run. Exclamation point. Stop the run. Exclamation point. They need to stop the run. If you can stop the run, Tennessee's, they're pretty much, that's a wrap. So if you stop the run, stop Derrick Henry, prevents the play action pass from being a success, yep. That's what they have to do. Ravens,
who
stop
got,
the run,
RC,
they win.
Just about out of time. Go ahead, RC. Who you got?
I got the Ravens. I think this is a game for payback. It might be bad that we all went with the Ravens. That's usually the curse, but I'm taking the Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
If you are superstitious, this is now a lock for Tennessee. Finish it up, Bart. Go ahead.
look at the Green Bay game when Mike Pettine went with the goal line defense, went with the extra defensive tackle in the game. That could be something that the Ravens try and utilize to try and slow Derrick Henry down.
Something to watch for. All right, we're out of time. This has been a fabulous Football Friday. Thank you for getting up with us. I'll see you coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. First Take starts now.